315 points and volume of just over 1.5 billion shares trading hands. Transports are down 91 at 49.39. Utilities are down 13 at 4.33. NASDAQ's off 59 at 21.49, and the S&P 500's at 11.70. That's down 43 on the day. Currently, we have 362 advancing issues, 2,837 declining, with 25 issues unchanged on the day. The October bond closed at 121 and 30 seconds. That was up 10 30 seconds on the day. Brings long bond yield to a 4.08. Oil's up $5.75 at 96.93. And the London African Gold Fix is up 33.50 at $813 an ounce. Once again, the Dow Jones Industrials are currently at 10,742. That's down 315 points on the day. This is Scott Moa with Wachovia Securities. Have a good afternoon.
And you too, Scott. Scott Moa of Wachovia Securities joining us here on a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Mark Report. Our guest on the line is Bob Dickey. He's the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association. Hails from Laurel, Nebraska. Thanks for joining us, Bob. Let's start with this question. And I'm going to make an assumption that one of the things that we heard in the newscast this afternoon you were involved with, maybe, in a conversation about the availability of credit in the coming months, given the problems that Wall Street has had and the ability that USDA might have to make that available to the grain handling industry should problems arise there. Were you involved in those discussions at all?
Not directly, but I am aware of those discussions, and I can tell you that as a corn producer and as the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association, I am very much concerned about that situation. It's definitely going to take a lot of credit in the coming days. There's no question about that. And I just hope that we can get through it in the best way possible.
You know, the assessment is the assessment of the corn growers that there was a potential big problem when we moved to $7 corn earlier in the year. And we've talked about this many times on the air with some of our analysts, that the grain elevators and the risk management that they were handling as producers or selling them grain at much lower levels was creating a credit crunch for them. We probably had at least one that I know of elevator in this state that was in good standing but had so much credit debt. That it had to fold its doors at one point. And how big a problem do you think this might be?
Well, there's no question about it that we do have a lot of volatility in the market. We've had a lot of volatility this past year, and I believe we're going to continue to see so in the future. And I firmly believe that we need to do a better job of risk management. The opportunities are great in agriculture today, but so are the risks. And so I think we need to prepare ourselves for those risks by providing some risk management to our operations. And we hopefully can be able to do that through our elevators and futures markets and other tools.
Have you talked as well about convergence and problems with convergence, and are there plans on the books from NCGA?
We have had an individual from the NCGA board testify on the convergence of the market. We are concerned about that, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see what develops in the future.
Listeners, if you'd like to join our conversation, you can this afternoon. The area code is 217. The phone number is 333-9455. That's WILL. Or toll free, 800-222-9455. We're talking with the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association, Bob Dickey, from Laurel, Nebraska. Bob, what other issues is NCGA concerned about at this time?
Well, of course, we're concerned about the implementation of the Farm Bill. As you know, we worked long and hard on the Farm Bill. We were delighted that it included the acre program, the revenue program, the average crop protection program. And as that's implemented, of course, we think that's important that corn producers give that consideration. Now, one thing that I liked about this farm program is that it's actually going to give the producers a choice next year. They can have the choice or the option of signing up for the old program, the 2002 traditional farm program, or the new average crop revenue election program.
And once they make that choice, they'll be stuck with it, though, for 5 years, right?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And I think as we look to the future, I think the revenue-based safety net is going to be important. especially in light of the input costs that have skyrocketed in recent days and recent months. I believe the acre program may be the key to helping protect the bottom line for many corn growers out there. So I would certainly encourage them to consider it, push the numbers for their particular farm, and go with what option best works for them.
Well, why do you think it would be a better option on your farm?
Well, on my farm, I'm concerned about the skyrocketing and escalating costs that we have with the fertilizer and diesel fuel and seeds and other input costs. And I just think it's important that we have a program that protects our revenue, and that's exactly what this acre program does.
Let's turn our attention to some of the energy things, but we'll stay related to fertilizer and input cost. Would you be in favor of more exploration for natural gas in the United States?
Yeah, I know that's very, very controversial, but as a corn producer, I believe that we should do more offshore drilling. I'm for that. Anything that we can get more energy that's available for our farmers and for our consumers.
In this case, natural gas, of course, would be the primary feedstock to make anhydrous ammonia or any form of nitrogen at all.
Exactly. And as you know, the natural gas prices have skyrocketed, and so therefore the fertilizer prices have skyrocketed just as well. And that concerns a lot of us as producers.
What kind of energy legislation are you watching in Washington, D.C., and things that may or may not change over time? I know earlier in the year the Texas governor tried to roll back the RFS.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. But with the foresight and the planning that the NCGA Corn Board has done over the past few years, for example, in 2006 we came up with a strategic plan that we're going to have the 15 by 15 by 15. In other words, we're going to produce 15 billion bushels of corn. They would produce 15 billion gallons of ethanol by the year 2015. And if you look at the trends in the yields that we receive, why, I think we're right on board to accomplishing that.
Have you been watching the World Trade Organization and the kinds of negotiations they have? And do you think it will really have an impact? I think at one point there was some thought that potentially the last farm bill could be opened back up because of WTO negotiations.
Well, I've heard talk of that. I don't have any particular details in mind right at the moment, but I can tell you that the NCGA wants expanded markets. We want expanded trade. Because the export markets are critical to our producers.
And what other issues would you be taking up? And maybe you can talk about some of the work that you've done in-house. I'm interested in particular that you sat on a committee called Structure Review. What is that?
Well, that had to do with our strategic plan a few years ago. I think it's important that we look to the future and try to determine what is best for our corn producers. And as you know, you need to make plans for that early on. And so I have the opportunity to sit on a structure review committee to look at the future of corn. And as you know, through the years, we've built a strong, strong demand base for corn, built strong demand base for our exports, for our ethanol industry, for our livestock industry, for food use, and so on. And so we do have a strong demand base today. I'm hopeful that we can keep that strong demand base for the future.
And when we come back in just a couple of minutes, I'd like to take up ethanol. I know you sat on the ethanol committee. And then maybe we could talk about the checkoff and how the funds are used through the National Corn Growers Association, okay?
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Bob Dickey is the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association, joining us from his farm, which is located in Laurel, Nebraska. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition. From now until the 10th of October, we'll expand our coverage of agriculture in the afternoon from half an hour at 2:06 to a full hour at 2:06. It's part of the commitment this radio station has made to agriculture. Stay with us on the Harvest Hour of the Closing Market Report.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square Village in Urbana, the same square with a new angle, now with shops, offices, activity, and dining facilities, including Pretty Nails and Mr. John's School of Cosmetology.
Well, here's the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit today at $7.25¾ finished 35¾ higher on the afternoon. March at $7.46, up 34 cents. And the May futures for the wheat up 35½ at $7.58¾. Corn futures in Chicago, December contract $5.54, 21¾ higher. March at $5.70, up 19¾, and the May futures up 17½ today at $5.79½. December futures $5.54, 21¾ higher on the afternoon. November soybean futures $11.39, the final trade up 15¢ for the day. January futures at $11.53¼, up 14. And the March contract, 12¼ higher at $11.65½. October bean meal at $3.22.70, up $2.20 a ton. The October bean oil at $43.97, 37 cents higher. Feeder cattle at $108, 90 cents lower. October live cattle down 15 at $102.60. December, 57½ lower at $104 and a nickel. And the October lean hog futures at $68.27 and a half were 80 cents higher on the afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. Dedicated to preserving our planet, the Subaru Assembly Plant in Lafayette, Indiana, achieved zero landfill status with nothing from its manufacturing efforts going into a landfill. It's part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information at wardenmartin.com or 352-8910.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition. We're joined by Bob Dickey. He is the incoming president of the National Corn Growers Association. We'll take office on October the 1st. I don't think I congratulated you on that one. I guess congratulations are in order, Bob.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that.
Let's talk a little bit about ethanol to begin with. Tell me about the ethanol committee you sat on and what kinds of things the corn growers have strived over for the years, and what's left to do.
Sure. Well, the ethanol committee has promoted and supported the RFS, or Renewable Fuel Standard, as an effective energy and economic and environmental policy. Ethanol has certainly helped many rural communities. Today you see many young couples wanting to get back on the farm and be a part of the action in the corn industry, and I'm just delighted to see that because that helps our small rural communities, the towns. It helps Main Street, it helps our schools, it helps our churches when these young families move back and come back to these rural communities. So that's been a huge, huge plus. Also, it's been a plus the ethanol industry has for the consumers because we've been able to reduce the price of fuel by approximately 15%. And, of course, that's positive. But the important thing that I believe is that today we are less dependent on foreign oil, and to me that is so, so important.
Do you have ethanol plants within range of your farm?
Yes. In fact, I happen to live between two ethanol plants, one that came on board in which we happen to be a member in 2001, and that plant is approximately 30 miles to the west of my farming operation. And then 2.5 years ago, another plant was built to the east of our farming operation, about 30 miles. And so we sit between two ethanol plants here.
Here in our part of the world, we are blessed, I suppose, with what you would consider a fairly narrow cash basis most of the time. Have the ethanol plants narrowed your cash basis, and by how much?
No question it's helped our basis. In fact, at one time, northeast Nebraska, northwest Iowa, southeast South Dakota had the worst basis in the country as far as the corn basis is concerned, and that has definitely helped our basis. In fact, it's probably within 10 to 15 cents now, where at one time it was as high as 25 to 30 cents a bushel. So it's definitely helped our situation here in the Western Corn Belt.
Are you concerned at all that as the price of fuel, as the price of crude oil has skyrocketed, And sometimes the margins are very slim at these plants that they will be purchased and sold at fire auction at some point?
Well, that is a concern that I have as a corn producer and as an investor in these ethanol plants. But I've farmed long enough to know that things go in cycles. You have your valleys, you have your peaks. And currently, the ethanol plants happen to be going through the valley, just as the livestock sector is. But I'm a firm believer that eventually the markets will take care of themselves.
And finally, tell me just a bit about how NCGA is funded.
NCGA is funded through checkoffs, so much per bushel. The percentage that varies by state. For example, here in Nebraska, the checkoff is one-fourth of a cent of a bushel of corn. And it's been a great investment, I believe, for the corn producers because, in the case of Nebraska anyway, Corn Board has been in existence for 29 years, collecting the checkoff. It's been a great investment because the producers have only given less than 6%, 6 cents, excuse me, per bushel in the checkoff dollars. And so you can see that it's been a great investment for the producers that are checking off. In some states, it's voluntary. In other states, it's mandatory. And in Nebraska, it happens to be mandatory. The quasi-state agency in the state of Nebraska.
What are the things other than ethanol that you can point to as successes?
Well, it's been successful in, I believe, bringing down the price of fuel to the average consumer. If we didn't have ethanol today, we would have a much higher price of fuel.
Well, what I meant, Bob, was what other types of things beyond ethanol would you point to as success with that checkoff dollars have been used for?
Sure. Okay. Well, our checkoff dollars are used for research, for example, and NCGA took a leading role in getting the National Plant Genome Initiative signed into law in 1997 and continues to support this important effort today. In February of 2008, a team of researchers led by Rick Wilson of Washington University in St. Louis completed a working draft of the corn genome sequence. And the draft covers about 95% of the corn genome and offers the first comprehensive glance of the blueprint for the corn plant. Corn genome will be a key tool for researchers working to improve varieties of corn and other cereal crops. As I mentioned earlier, the trend in yield has gone up in recent years, and I think it will continue to go up because of the research dollars that we put in to explore just exactly what that potential is.